The word of the Lord reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And may the Lord add his blessing to both the reading and the preaching of his word. Well, last weekend, if you didn't notice, there was four compelling playoff football games that went right down to the wire. And if you had a personal stake in any of the teams, or you just flicked it on for the last couple of minutes, it was quite exciting. And your emotions probably ran from one end to the other. For some fans, it was like, "Oh no." And then others, it was like, "Wow, what an incredible finish." The range of emotions from disappointment to excitement. In any sports competition, you look at the challenges that lie ahead or challenges that face. And the playoff games, obviously the playoff pressure. Sometimes they talk about being a visiting team in a hostile environment, so to speak. Or sometimes they talk about the weather or the field conditions combined, the frozen tundra. And these are all challenges. And like any sports competition, and many of us have participated in our childhood and maybe even now, we know we face a lot of different challenges. The worthiness of the opponents. Going to a different place where you never played before. You face adversity. And you do your best, and your team does your best to prepare. When it comes to the proclamation of the gospel, you will have challenges. You may expect to be well received at times, and in the same breath, you also may fully expect that you would be rejected, even ridiculed. And even in the motions as you share and take initiative to preach and share the gospel, you may be encouraged and excited at one point, and then you may be deflated or dejected at another point. This is where God's word gives us perspectives or gives us an anchor, particularly in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You can be prepared, as this passage will tell you, and not simply with perspective, but trust and reside in the power of God. And so our passage is Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and this verse may be familiar to us, especially in recall, and we could probably recall it even in our sleeve, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Interesting, just to set up this verse, if you look at verse 15, Paul talks about his eagerness. "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome." And even prior to that, he said he's under obligation both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and foolish. And he mentions in terms of his eagerness to preach the gospel to them. The word eager gives us the picture or the impression of a runner leaning towards that tape, leaning towards that finish line, pressing forward with the gospel. And Paul is excited. He is eager to get things going. He is eager to preach the gospel. He's ready to go. He's chomping at the bit. There is no hesitation for him. He really wants to deliver the news, the good news. And he desires to preach to the Greeks, the barbarians, the wise and the foolish, and even to those who are at the church at Rome. And then we have this verse here. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so we just want to pause just for a second here. After Paul declares his eagerness to preach, he also declares that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Why is that? Maybe for the first declaration, you get a sense of the Apostle Paul looking forward, anticipating the opportunities to no matter who. While the second declaration, you also get a sense of anticipation, but even through adversity, in no matter what. And isn't that so? The eagerness to preach, it doesn't matter who, wise or foolish, Greeks or barbarian. And not being ashamed of the gospel, it doesn't matter what. What adversity. And this is what Paul wants us to get into right now. Pride in the gospel is our first point if you're taking notes. And just a little understanding in terms of just some of the challenges, some of the adversity that Paul had faced, and even believers at that time. And maybe it helps us understand why some may be reluctant, or even some may feel ashamed. Obviously, Paul didn't. But let me give you a couple of reasons why some believers may have been ashamed of the gospel. One has to do with a dominating society, and we all know it was under Roman rule, and we all know that previously the Jews were considered second-class citizens and treated as such. And then you got Christians who came onto the scene. And you could say that they faced even more scrutiny and suffering, especially in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which the Romans were trying to suppress. Remember, it was the Roman cross, which is a symbol of shame that Jesus was nailed on. And remember, it was the Roman troops under the orders to seal the tomb, to protect the tomb. But we rejoice today because Christ is resurrected. But there was a dominating society that was trying to suppress these truths. There was also a degenerating society from the different rulers and what they advocated, what they stood for. The emperor of the day, Nero, he took delight in terms of his wickedness. Persecution from one emperor to the other, and Nero took it even further as far as persecuting Christians and promoting wicked living. And so if you think about those two things just right off the bat, the gospel that Paul preached, with its demands for repentance, its truth in the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, its advocacy for the transformation, holy living, and accountability to the Lord God Almighty, all diametrically opposed everything that the Romans stood for, represented, or sought to suppress. And Paul, even in his own life, understanding the dominating society, understanding a degenerating society, he also experienced a deflation himself. There was a streak or a pattern that he's experienced. And if you look if you just know in terms of the book of Acts, some of the challenges that he faced, let me just give you a few. In chapter 14, he was stoned in Galatia. Chapter 16, he was in prison in Philippi. Chapter 17 chronicles that he was chased out of Thessalonica, that he was smuggled out of Berea, and he was mocked in Athens, and this is just to name a few. So again, if you're taking the first point, and despite these challenges and these adversity, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He took pride in the gospel. And by the way, this is not the only time that he advocated this. He exhorted Timothy to not to be ashamed of the gospel on the basis of the confidence of God's power to change people's lives. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Let me just kind of read there for you a couple of verses there. And Paul talks in his last letter to Timothy. He says, "Do not be ashamed about the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoners, but rather share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to holy living, not because of our works, but because of his purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, and which is why I suffer as I do." And he concludes, "But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." And so, Paul exhorts a young Timothy to not to be ashamed, to take pride in the gospel work that's working within us, the gospel that we're preaching to seeing lives change. Paul was stating it very clearly, not to be ashamed. Take pride in the gospel and think about it. When our lives are powerfully impacted, dramatically altered with constant ministry of the gospel and seeing it in the lives of other believers, and seeing others dramatically converted to faith by the hearing of the word, this encourages us. This gives us confidence that we are not ashamed, that we take pride in the gospel. When it comes to Rome, Paul was stating, "I want to come. I want to come to the most powerful city in the world. I want to come, and inevitably I know I'll face the most harshest critics." He wanted to come in an environmental culture that is hostile to both the witness of Christ and the message of Christ. And maybe we have to just pause right there and just kind of think about it. The challenges that he faced just going in there. And is there a Rome-like situation that we face, or like a Rome-like individual person in your life? Now, by the way, Paul could testify in his own testimony. He's an example of one who is the hardest to reach, wasn't he? No one was further away from Christ than Saul of Tarsus. We're mindful that he persecuted believers. But now, because of Christ, because of the gospel, Paul is now motivated. And he understands if God can intervene in his life for him to be brought to faith in Christ, then God can certainly move in anyone. Remember, Paul is the guy who said that he was the chief of all sinners. And if he could be saved, then any other sinner potentially can be saved. The hardest to reach became humble before the Lord. Maybe we have to ask ourselves, is there a Saul of Tarsus or Paul-like figure that you've come across with, hard to reach, maybe in our circles of relatives or neighbors or coworkers or whoever we've come across? Is there one that we, in some sense, and maybe in our minds, we've kind of written off? And maybe we have to ask ourselves, are we still intentional in terms of prayer, in terms of reaching out in hopes of sharing the gospel? We have to be real for a moment here. When we think about it, there are times that we kind of put people in categories, don't we? There are times that we might think like, oh, this person's so close to the gospel, so close to believing in Christ. And sometimes we think that, oh, this person's way out there. This guy, person is far. And sometimes, to be honest with you, we just have a preference. We just kind of go with one who's very close. And sometimes we even want to kind of push them ahead just to get them started. And we put more energy to those maybe are so close. Paul had a different perspective, didn't he? It didn't matter who, Greek or barbarian. It didn't matter whether they were fools or wise, whether Greek or Jew. Paul was not ashamed. He was confident in the Lord God Almighty who transforms lives through the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. He was eager to preach. He was not ashamed of the gospel. Not only should we take pride in the gospel, the second point I want to make is notice the power within the gospel. The power within the gospel. The passage tells us, for it is the power of God for salvation. Salvation to the souls does not happen unless God makes it happen. No person will ever or can ever affect his or her own salvation. You cannot will it to happen. You cannot plan a date to make it happen. You just can't make it happen at all. We are truly helpless without God's intervention, God's divine intervention. You need to understand that the gospel is not just a message about the power of God. It is the power of God. The Bible tells us in Corinthians, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so Paul's confidence, and it's not just reflected here in Romans, but throughout his ministry, his confidence is in the power of gospel to bring men to salvation, not merely a message about power, but a powerful impact, the change that happens to people by merely hearing it, obviously under the grace of God. So if you think about it, Paul's approach in terms of sharing the ministry or preaching the gospel, he didn't rely on creative presentations. He didn't try to mix his words, but he depended fully upon the power of the gospel. And he echoes it in Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, and closing in verse 5, he says, so that the peoples will not rest upon the wisdom of man, but rather in the power of God. And so even though we have some creative and colorful material, we need to still, although there's material, understand the mightiness that God is mighty to save. Even though we do have presentations, understand it is the power of God, the power within this gospel. The word power, which is dunamis in Greek and in English, it means dynamite, and the idea is that it is an explosive device. It is explosive. It's powerful. It's impacting. And if you think about it, the gospel is dynamite. The gospel is explosive. The power of God unto salvation. If you think about it, there's no more powerful message in the entire world than the gospel message. There's no other sayings. There's no other steps. There's no other way that can have a profound spiritual impact upon one's life. There is no other message that could harden, the hardened can be humble, the conflicted can be comforted, and the rebellious become repentant. By God's grace, when the gospel explodes in a person's life, they are not the same. They are spiritually alive. They are spiritually awakened in their souls. And you could say that they are new because the Bible says that they are new. In 2 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Do we realize the powerful impact the gospel can have on a person's life? You know, when it comes to salvation, sometimes it could be oversimplified by simply just saying it's simply just about the forgiveness of sin. And it is, and by the way, the forgiveness of sin is included in the salvation. But there is more to salvation than this. Salvation includes the idea of deliverance from such enemies such as death and Satan. It includes the restoration of promises of all that sin had marred, all of sin has destroyed. Salvation includes the ideas of justification, sanctification, and glorification. And we know by God's power, we are saved from the penalty of sin. That is justification. God declares us justified. And we need to remember that, don't we? He declares that we are justified. By God's power, we are saved from the power of sin, and that is sanctification. And by God's power, one day we will be saved from the presence of sin. And as we sung about, we look forward to that. That's glorification. And thus, when we are saved, understand that there is a divine intervention. There is a divine deliverance from our depravity. We are delivered through the power of the gospel to a state and a condition which we are now free. We are now loose from the power of dominion of sin, and now we are set free to honor, glorify, and please our Lord and our God. In this passage, our encouragement and exhortation is the pride in the gospel, the power within the gospel, and finally note the presentation of the gospel. The presentation of the gospel. Salvation is to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. The gospel brings salvation, has been given to the Jews first but also to the Gentiles, and we know that it's the Jews first. Paul means the gospel came first in history to the Jews. God chose Abraham and his descendants to be a blessing to others. The gospel came initially to the Jews because they were God's chosen people. We're mindful even the Lord Jesus who said in John 4:22, salvation comes from the Jews. The Jews in turn were to take this message to the Gentile world. However, if you remember through Scripture, not all the times were they enthusiastic, but they were sometimes reluctant. And no better example was Jonah in the Old Testament, right? Jonah rocked the boat in many ways. He went out of his way not to preach the gospel to Nineveh, but God prepared the way for him to preach the gospel to Nineveh. And when he did preach, to his surprise, but not God's surprise, the Ninevites responded. And next thing you know, Jonah's throwing a pity party instead of a celebration. Maybe this should challenge us as a church. Do we show any reluctance, like Jonah, in reaching beyond our comfort zone? Maybe when we think about missions, we need to think beyond our circles. Have we forgotten the need to go to the unreached, the uttermost parts of the world where there is no church? Have we neglected the necessity and the support of the importance of accurate Bible translation for those who've yet to hear in their respective language? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. Paul's emphasis is not just as it's open, but it's a universal offer of the gospel. It is for everyone who believes. It is for the religious Jew who could believe. It's for the pagan Greek who could potentially believe. And whether you are Jew or Greek, salvation is only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, in the words of Jesus, it says, I am the way and the truth and life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. There is not one way for a Jew to be saved and a different way for a Gentile to be saved. There is only one narrow gate that leads into the kingdom of God, and that is through the gospel, through Christ. The good news is for you, whatever background you come from. Whether you come from a religious background or a non-religious background, whether you come from a spiritual or secular, whether you come from immoral or seemingly moral, because we know we all have sin, it doesn't matter what your background is. You must not trust in your background, but as a sinner, receive, respond to the grace of God, the mercy of God, by faith. And whether you're straight, narrow by the book person in your own self-righteousness, or whether you're a wayward, off the trail person in your own debauchery, you must turn from your sins. You must look at Christ. You must repent and come humbly before God, begging for his mercy. And if you do by faith in Christ, you will go home justified. Not because of you, but because of God. Because of the gospel is the power of God. Have we forgotten the power of God? Especially when in our evangelistic mindset, the ways we do things, sometimes we could be overzealous and show the opposite. Are we more into the power of presentation versus the power of the gospel? Remember, we don't have to make the gospel powerful. It is intrinsically powerful in and of itself. All we have to do as his servants is to present the gospel, and God gives us opportunities. The good news comes from God with his soul-saving power that he alone possesses. It should make a difference in our approach to evangelism. Let me ask you some questions, and I know we're on the brink of starting community groups, so I'm going to give you some community group-like questions, or even some lunchtime discussion questions. Maybe you want to just think for yourself. Paul talks about not being ashamed of the gospel. Can we honestly say the same thing? Why or why not? Have your actions or lack of actions in personal evangelism indicate whether you're ashamed of the gospel or not? And how can you move forward? In prayer, maybe as we refresh ourselves in Scripture and trust and faith in God and his glorious gospel. Let me give you a shorter question here. How about, why is it important? Why is it important, not just in perspective, but in the approach that we take in evangelism, to understand that salvation is not a decision, but requires the power of God in imparting new life? And what happens when we forget? It is the power of God that is impacting new life. What errors occur when we forget God's power, forget the power of the gospel? In our passage, it reminds us that God's salvation is available to anyone, to everyone who will believe. No one is excluded. There is not a class of individual who cannot receive salvation. It does not matter what you have done, you can receive salvation. Jesus was not the Savior of the Jews only, but the Savior of the world. In our passage, Paul reminds us that we could be proud of the gospel. That salvation is a powerful message that we should share with everyone, everywhere, without shame or without fear. We do not need to be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and our God. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, Father, we need this encouragement. We need this refreshment. Because, Father, there are times we take our foot off the pedal, so to speak. Sometimes it escapes our prayers to pray for the salvation of others. Sometimes it escapes our efforts in reaching out and even sharing the gospel, having those conversations, taking the time to talk with individuals, sharing scriptures to others. Father, we pray, Lord, we would have the eagerness of Paul to preach the gospel, no matter who in our vicinity, and no matter what, in whatever challenges that we face. Help us to remain true, Father. We know this is a life-changing message that has a profound spiritual impact. Not only changes a person, but changes their eternity. Thank you, Father, for how you have entrusted us, as you would say, the ministry of reconciliation. And so, Father, let us be mindful. Let us go out in faith and hope in Christ alone. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.